just a personal word. As I began, I was able to visit my mother after Easter and travel to Tennessee to see family, my older brother, a younger brother, and other relatives. My younger brother, Danny, is doing quite well. His nutrition levels are the best they've been in 5 years, as his blood work is as well. And so he is doing very well, and it was good to see him. Joyce and I also traveled to North Carolina to see our older son, Will. He is working in Chatham County in the finance office doing budget planning, grant planning with that county that is growing like Topsy, that is about half hour from Raleigh, and he's doing well. And so we had a good visit, and it's good to be back with you here. You will see the sermon this morning is entitled Loving to Life. And for our scripture reading, we are reading from the Gospel of John in the 19th chapter, just a few verses, verses 25 to 27. What's taking place in these few verses? The soldiers have just crucified Jesus. They have just nailed him to the cross. And they are gambling. They are casting lots to determine who will receive the garments, his garments, especially his one-piece tunic. And then our reading begins at verse 25. And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, we thank you for the meaning and the beauty of Scripture read in worship. We thank you for its timeless truths and the way in which it will, through your Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us this day at our point of need. And we know that it will do this. And so we pray in anticipation of your speaking to each one of us. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we have been enjoying this year, the women in the church, our Presbyterian Women National Study entitled What My Grandmothers Have Taught Me. And I have really enjoyed this year's study. We have been studying five women who are unique because they are the only five women listed in Matthew 1. Matthew chapter 1, of course, is the ancestry of Jesus. And thus the title of those five women, What My Grandmothers Taught Me. And you can imagine what those women in that genealogy, what they may have meant to Jesus when you look at each and every one of them, which we have done in our study. And that study concludes this Tuesday. And so I hope if you have a chance, you will come and be a part of that gathering here Tuesday at 10:45 and then join us for the luncheon. But the last woman that we studied, there were two lessons devoted to her, and it was devoted, of course, to Mary, the only woman in the New Testament that was in the study, Mary, the mother of our Lord. And we noted in the study the way that she responds to the announcement that the angel made to her that she would have this miraculous birth of the Savior of the world. And Mary, her response to that announcement was simply, "Let it be to me according to your word." Mary, you see, is a mother that we should honor. She was the mother of our Lord. And her response is that of an ideal disciple. She is a model of faith. And Mary, the mother of our Lord, is often referred to in the world today as the mother of sorrows, because she certainly knew sorrow. And so many people can identify with her as one of us. She suffered greatly. And the Bible records for us in our reading today that Mary was standing near the cross on which Jesus was crucified. Obedient and following her son, and following her Lord to the very end at his death. As his mother, she brought him into this world. No doubt, through miraculous means, she raised him. She knew him like any mother would know a son, right? And now, as he hung on the cross, all she could do was, in her own agony, watch his agony in his last hours. And notice this. Notice that instead of acting hysterically, which any mother would have done at such a sight, or fleeing in terror, or fainting, that Mary, the Bible records, stood there, and she must have done so with incredible courage and faith. Mary was standing there, and someone else was standing there with her. It was the beloved disciple of Jesus. It was John. We're told that. So Mary was there, and John was there. All of the other disciples had fled and were hiding, and one who betrayed him was at the end of a rope. And the next words we read here in the scriptures, in this passage, I believe are quite moving. Because we are told that when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, Jesus said, "Here is your mother." Here was Jesus near death, from the beatings, the whippings that he had endured. We studied that during Holy Week, looking at Simon of Cyrene, who was forced to carry the cross because Jesus could not. He was so near death from the beatings, and the soldiers forced Simon to carry that cross. And yet, now being crucified, Jesus on the cross managed to push aside his own pain and remember, of all things, from the cross, arguably the most historic event in human history, and from the cross he remembered to care for his mother. He gave his mother the comfort of a new relationship, a new son. I think, however, it is important for us to note that the relationship, at least on the surface, between Jesus and his mother, that it was a complicated one, no doubt. It was unique, the mother of our Lord. Can you imagine? But I want to suggest to you that perhaps that relationship at times, because of who Jesus was a bit strained. A bit strained. You remember, don't you, that when Jesus was 12 years old, he and his parents were in that caravan. They were making that pilgrimage to the Holy Land, to the city of David, to Jerusalem during Passover. And it was during that time that Jesus went missing, you remember, and Mary and Joseph, they must have been frantic. They looked for him, we are told, for 3 days, and then they found him in the temple, amazing the scribes and Pharisees. And when they found him, Jesus did not apologize once for his absence and being missing. No, what he did was he told Mary and Joseph, "Did you not know I must be in my Father's house?" And it's interesting to me that in the Gospel of Luke, we read the next lines after that, that it reads, "Mary and Joseph did not understand." And so it is not a far leap in logic to think that the relationship at some point between Mary and between his parents, in fact, and Jesus, it must have been somewhat of a strained relationship at times. Remember as well that it was the custom at that time that if the father of the family died, it was the eldest son that had the responsibility for the mother and the rest of the siblings. And for a time, we know from the scriptures that Jesus did just that. Jesus became known, in fact, as Jesus, a carpenter in Nazareth, where his family lived, his mother and his siblings. But there came a point where Jesus left home and became an itinerant preacher, a very wonderful preacher, in fact, a prophet. became recognized as the Messiah. And this would have meant when he left home. He left his mother with the responsibility for the home to care for his siblings. And this would have been difficult on Mary, no doubt. The scriptures also record that Jesus, I find this interesting, they note that Jesus returned, we are told at least, to visit Nazareth only once in 3 years. And it turned out to me not a happy honor in his own country. And Jesus, in the presence of his mother, he repeated that old saying and he added these words, "And among his own kin and in his own house." A prophet is not without honor except in these places. Now, I can only imagine that when he said this publicly, some people would have been confused. They often did not understand what Jesus was saying, and Jesus often had to talk to his disciples in private to explain what he meant. And I imagine those public words would have stung his mother's ears. When I wrote those words, I thought of Mother's Day, and I thought, even for me, how often growing up I said words that must have stung my mother's ears, even my father's. And many of us may have done that at some point. Saying something that stung the ears of a loved one, even a mother. Then there was a time, note with me, when Jesus was speaking to a crowd, and a man came up to him and he said, "Jesus, your mother is here, and your mother and your brothers are outside, and they want you to come and speak to him." You remember that story? And in that story, Jesus, it seems to me, responds rather brusquely, because what he said to those when he was teaching, he was asked that question, and he said to the crowd, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And he pointed to his disciples and he said, "These are my mother and my brothers." He was delivering a message that he had now stepped into a much larger family, God's family. And all whom he met, he welcomed into that larger family. All, which is to say, the relationship between Mary and her son, I can only imagine that there were times in which it was not all sweetness and roses. However, do not doubt Mary's love for her firstborn. It was without limits. There were no bounds to her love for Jesus. Nothing could stop it. And in our reading, we are faced with the fact that standing there at the foot of the cross is the mother of our Lord, risking, no doubt, her life to be there. If Jesus claimed and was charged with saying he was God, what would they think of her mother? If they could find her, would they not do something with her as well? And she was there at the foot of the cross. Her love for her son could not be stopped. And on this Mother's Day, as we think about this, I want you to just pause for a moment and let the love of Mary for her son Jesus just wash over you. Think about that amazing love. You know, most of our homes today, they are loaded with conveniences. My television will tell me who is calling on the phone, and it will tell me who just pushed the doorbell as well. It's amazing. We are loaded with conveniences in our home. And yet, there are too many homes in our communities which do not have a unifying joy. Another way to say that is they do not have spiritual resources. And there are many of those. Too many homes, I read someone right, recently, too many homes have become like motels with restaurants attached. Family members oftentimes just drive in and eat and sleep and watch their phones and then drive away at different times. And my wish on this Mother's Day, my prayer is that more parents would just pour themselves into the relationship with the one that they married and then go and chisel the value of that commitment in the hearts and minds of their children so that their children can just delight in the commitment that the parents have made to each other and to the family which they belong. You see, we are called by God, and we remember this on Mother's Day, to give our children the very best that we have and the very best that we are. And then we are also called as people of faith to encourage our children, to encourage them and point them to Mary's son, saying to them, now go and follow him. Follow him. And so Jesus knew that for all the stresses, all the strains he and his mother faced together in life, he knew that his mother had given him the very best that she had and the very best that she was. And I believe Jesus knew that. And so here we are from the cross. He says to his mother, standing there, and the disciple John standing next to her, he said to his mother, woman, dear woman, here is your son. He was giving his mother the comfort of a new relationship and new responsibilities. And here's what I know is true on this Mother's Day. Time may indeed heal all wounds and other things, but time alone cannot even heal the pain of grief by itself. It cannot do it. We have to learn often to live with the pain of a loss, especially that of a mother or a parent. And what I have learned is the way that you live with it is often you give yourself to a new cause or some new challenge, because for the moment you give yourself away to some new task, a new responsibility, you can become a blessing to others or to someone unique. And when you do that, you can begin to break the chains of grief. And they are chains. The pain remains, yes. The pain will always be there after a significant loss in your life. It may be duller than it initially was, but it will always be there. But you can learn to live with it in spite of, and you can learn to love again. I came across this story this week. It's not one that I knew about Abraham Lincoln. You may have heard it before. It is told of him that at the height of the Civil War, at the point when the pressure and the personal anguish was just heaped upon him like no other time, it was the most intense, and at that point, one day, he stopped by a military hospital, and he met a dying young man. And he knelt by the boy's bed, and he said to the young soldier, son, is there anything that I can do for you? And the young man, his eyes were glazed over in pain, and he did not recognize the president. He said, yes, sir, there is something you can do. I would be grateful, because I am injured and I cannot write. I would be grateful if you would help me to write a letter to my mother. And so the young soldier, who was mortally wounded, he painfully dictated the words, and Lincoln wrote them down. And then the young man said, would you mind signing your name next to mine so that my mother can know that someone kind wrote the letter for me, because she will know it is not my handwriting. And the president wrote his signature next to his. And when the young man saw the signature, he was overwhelmed with emotion because he recognized who it was finally. And then Lincoln spoke tenderly to him once more, and he said, son, again, I ask you, is there anything else I can do for you? And the young soldier said, if it's not asking too much, sir, Would you stay tonight with me, because I know the end is coming, and would you help me see it through? And so Lincoln stayed. In the midst of all he was facing, he stayed the night with that young dying soldier. 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and finally, as daybreak came, that young dying soldier's spirit took flight. And with that, Lincoln closed his empty eyes, prayed with the boy, and then left. And what I got from that story is that Lincoln had poured himself out to that dying young man. He had seen him through it. And that's what Christians do. Christians push aside their own concerns, and we pour ourselves, we are called to do that, into the concerns and needs of others. We are called, you see, to love others into life. That's what we're called to do. And we are fortunate, because that's exactly what's happening in our reading for today. Jesus looked down from the cross. He saw his mother. He saw the disciple John. And he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And I love the way the Bible simply puts it in the next verse. It says beautifully, "From that time on, the disciple took him into her own home." And I can only imagine that as they walked away from the cross and the death of Mary's son, that she was no longer afraid for the future or the present. Because as they walked away, she was in the loving arms of John, holding his arm. And here's the miracle. God does the same thing for you, and he does the same thing for me in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Give your life to me, for if you give your life to me, I will take care of you. You will never want." No matter what battle you have to fight, no matter if you are bleeding, you will not be broken. No matter what, you will not faint. For I will be with you. And here's what I really want to say to you. I know from my own experience and my own life, I have learned that I can keep on living, I can keep on going, I can keep on loving, no matter what, because of that promise. I am always with you. He leads me. I know that. He is my shepherd, and I know I shall never want. I close with this story. In his book, Through the Eyes of Faith, Father John Powell, he's a retired professor from Loyola University in Chicago, he tells about his prison ministry over the years in that book. Once a month, he visited a penitentiary in that state, and he visited the prisoners there. He described how difficult it was for him to do that month after month, and yet how it set him in the reality of the world to realize there's always a need there. The atmosphere in that prison was grim, it was depressing, it was sobering. However, on one particular visit, Father Powell wrote about an enlightening experience that he had on that visit. In that stern prison environment, it seems that an elderly woman was standing beside him as they entered the prison that day, as they went through the metal detector, as they had to present their identification, as they had to have their personal belongings checked. They passed through all of that, and through it all, John Powell noted how this dear, sweet woman was smiling warmly toward everyone. As she would go through the metal detector, she would say, "Hello, Bill, how is your family?" She would see someone else, and she would call them by name, and she would smile, and she would ask about them. And she was a breath of fresh air and a ray of sunshine everywhere she went in that prison. And Father Powell was quite taken back by this experience, and he finally said to her, he said, "Gee, woman," he said, "you really are a ray of sunshine. You bring love into this world, and I'm sure to everyone that sees your smiling face and hears your words." And this is what she said in response. She said, "Father, I decided long ago that there are no strangers in the world. There are only brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. And there are just some still that I'm still to meet. I haven't met them yet." And Powell writes in his book, that lady drew out of me that day a deep and warm reaction of love. And suddenly I came to realize that that woman was doing for me and everyone else around her what Jesus did. Jesus took people where they are, and he loved them into life. And that's what he calls us to do. Happy Mother's Day. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for these moments together. We thank you for this profound story and the words of Jesus himself from the cross. Here is your son. In Christ's name, amen.